As I told you last week, if you've been around this church for the last 24 years, you have heard this message that I'm about to do. That's because this message is central to the theology of this church. It is central to what we do as a church. So, I'm going to do something a little bit different with the reading of the scripture today. So those of you who are sitting out in the audience that believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God and every word, cross T and dotted I, is by the hand of God, y'all might want to go get a glass of orange juice or something for the next moment or two. Because the scripture I want to read to you this morning, while it is in the message, I want to bring it up to a modern standard, if you will. Amen?
Amen.
If you
Amen.
Get what I'm talking about. All right, here we go. And by the way, the setup on this is what? Jesus has been asked on a couple of different occasions, what is it to be part of God and that whole relationship? And he's been asked that rather sarcastically, amen? Because everybody is trying to figure out whether or not they're right or wrong in how they approach their relationship with God. And so Jesus has done three stories, or he did two stories prior to this one, and this is the third one. And actually, this is the one, folks, that if this doesn't sell you on how God loves you unconditionally, then nothing will. All right, so here we go. And by the way, this is my version of the scripture. Then Jesus said, there was once a person with two children. And the younger said to the parent, I want right now what's coming to me. And so the parent divided the property and assets between them. And it wasn't long before the younger child packed their bags and left for a distant land called Atlanta. And there, undisciplined, dissipated, they wasted everything they had. They gone through all their money, and there was a bad economic blight upon Atlanta, and the child began to feel it. They signed on with a citizen in Atlanta who assigned them to a shop, and in the shop, they had to clean the toilets. The younger child was hungry and would have eaten anything, but nobody would give them anything after they were lost their job. And this actually brought the child to their senses. All those people that work for my parents sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving. I am going to go back to the farm that is in Statesboro, and I will ask them to take me back. I will ask them to take me on as a hired hand. And the child got up and went home. And when they were still a long ways off, now we're going to stop here for a moment. I want you to picture this, the connector, downtown Atlanta. The connector looking south to get to the farm that's in Statesboro is down what? 75 to Route 16 to Route 10, Route 1. It is a good distance away. And while he was still a long ways off, the parents saw him and went running to him. And the child started the speech. I have sinned against God. I have sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your child. But the parent wasn't listening. Instead, was calling to the hands, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress this child. Put the family ring on their finger and sandals on their feet. Get a prize-winning heifer and let us roast it. For we are going to feast. We are going to have a wonderful time. My child is here, given up for dead, but now alive. given up for lost, but now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. But now there was the older child, who was out working on the farm. And when the day's work was done, they came in. And as they approached the house, they heard the music and the dancing and calling over one of the workers. They said, "What's going on?" And they were told, "Well, your youngest sibling came home, and your parents have ordered a feast, barbecued beef, and because the child is home safe and sound." Now, the older sibling stomped off in an angry sulk and refused to join in. And when the parents came out and tried to talk to them, they wouldn't listen. The child said, "Look, how many years have I stayed serving you, never giving you one moment of grief? But have you ever thrown a party for me and my friends? Then this child of yours, who's thrown away your money on whores, shows up sick and destitute, and you have a feast. My child, you don't understand. You're with me all the time, and everything that is mine is yours. But this is a wonderful time, and we had to celebrate. Your sibling was dead, is now alive. Your sibling was lost, but is now home. May God add God's blessings to the reading of his gospel." Now, if you listen closely with the updated version, you understand why this is central to our message. Because we have been talking for years about how God feels. And of course, in lots of churches, they want to center, what, on the child that left, amen? But really, the center of this story is on the parent. Because who is the parent in this story? God. Who are the children? Well, it's us. There are those of us who have run away from our responsibilities. We've spent our money all over the block. We've done stuff that's gotten us sick, etc., etc., etc. We've lost our jobs. We've lost a place to live. We've made all kinds of bad decisions. And in making those bad decisions, somewhere along the line, we have heard that we're not worthy to be in a relationship with God. And when we hear that, I will submit to you that things don't get better, they just get worse. Because now we no longer care. Now it no longer matters. So there are those of us that are that child in this story. And there are those of us that can relate to the more modern version of the story, because that's why we moved to Atlanta to begin with, was to get away from some kind of trouble someplace else. And we thought that Atlanta was going to be, you know, the great big saving place. You know, what do they call that? The geographic cure? Mm. How often does the geographic cures not work? I would tell anybody that, as a matter of fact, let me tell you a quick little story off to the side. And y'all can pray about this because we have a lesbian couple. They met via Facebook. Amen. One lived in Louisiana, one lived, I forget now where the other one was. I think it might maybe Pennsylvania. They both gave up their jobs to come together. And when they come together, the one partner was working for the airlines and the other one was an office manager. After they got together and as they were setting up household, guess what happened? They lost their jobs. And when they lost their jobs, what'd they lose? Their homes. They have a 5-year-old child. They find themselves in Atlanta with no address, no shelter, sleeping in a park. And there's no easy way to get them off the street, folks, unless somebody out there listening to me today decides to take this story seriously. and be able to give these folks a place to stay until they can get on their feet. But the problem is, when you say, listen, I've got this couple that needs housing, amen, because they have a five-year-old child, you know what I get asked? Do they have a job? That's the first thing I get asked. You know what the second thing is that I get asked? How long do I have to commit? So understand, this child that got caught in Atlanta, when he stood there, when they stood there and said, you know what? I'm better off trying to go back home. They were right where we usually are with this kind of stuff. And of course, here's the other side of the coin. The real culprit here is the one that stayed at home. Because if we're honest this morning, while our attitude sometimes may not be exact for the older sibling, it's damn close. Do we not feel like the people that have got it bad, that haven't got housing, haven't got a job, that are hooked on drugs, that are hooked on alcohol, who maybe have gotten into the world of prostitution, don't we all kind of look down our nose at them and say, look, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why would I throw a party for them? Why should I spend my good money? And the reason, the answer, is because God says everybody is equal. There is no one that is not worthy of God's love. The ability, we are told that when decisions are made about the end of the world, how God is going to figure out who's in and who's out is what? I was hungry and you fed me. Did the older sibling hear that? No. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Did the older sibling hear that? No. I was sick and in prison. Did you catch that in the story? While he was yet a long ways off, God runs to us. So for those of you who think you got to get back to church, James, that you got to fall at the altar, that you somehow have got to be saved, that is all bad theology. God is looking for you right now. Right now. Bishop Spong, I think, said it best. We do not have to worry about being saved. We just need to grow up. And growing up is understanding that God is looking for you and that everybody else's problems is not yours to be concerned with. What we need to be concerned with is the fact that God loves us, embraces us. And so all of this dogma, all of these rules that keep people out of church, that keep people not feeling good about their relationship with God, is bull. We were dead, and now we're alive. We were lost, but we were found. You know, that's how Amazing Grace, that song, was written, is because of this verse. If you really want to get into a debate about what the relationship of God is about, then you got to read this story. This is where it begins, and this is where it ends. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you're going. It doesn't matter what your history is, and it doesn't matter where you stand now. All that matters is this. God loves you with every ounce of God's being. So what are you going to do about that today? God bless you.